Hi everyone, and welcome to what should be a relatively short episode 256 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always joined by Casey.
Now then, how are you?
Pretty good, mate. For once in my life, not only had about 6 minutes after finishing work before doing this, I've had like a whole 20 minutes to get sorted for this one, and I think that you're somewhat similar today.
Yeah, been pretty good.
So, this one, we've already done all the... You know, well, there wasn't any news, but we've talked about previous games. Was that Monday, Tuesday?
Yes.
One of them. that is now up on the feed. It was a bit delayed. We had some issues with our website that meant that it would not let me upload a podcast. And I have fixed it by leaving it alone for a couple of days, and then it seemed to work. Because that is how us tech guys do things, you see.
That is
how we do. So, yeah, all we've got is the Millwall game to talk about. Is there any of the others playing this weekend? Yeah, Ipswich, you've got Seth Wednesday, but there's no Leicester Southampton game because they were playing each other, weren't they?
Yeah,
and Leicester is still in the FA Cup. Go on, Leicester, get all the way to the final.
Go on, Leicester,
that was good.
Up the whatever animal they are. Fox's biscuits.
Yep. the Millwall will be a little bit different from last time we played them. We won 3-0 at their place. I did briefly watch the highlights of that the other night because they came up on my Twitter feed. It was very good goals, played some really nice stuff. They caused us a little bit of trouble with a couple of long balls. And I would expect the long balls to only increase because they are now once again managed by Neil Harris.
Yeah, I'm assuming at this point, I think, is he until the end of the season now?
I assume that's what his contract was. Well, I don't know, because would he have left the Cambridge job to take such a short-term deal?
If Millwall is as close to your heart as it is to his, maybe.
What heart? they shock horror since he came back in. There's a couple of things that happened. One, it's a match made in heaven. We all know this. Even though there's not really much positive to say, they have won 3 of the last 4, which you can't really argue with. Won 2-1 at Southampton, which is objectively a very good result. Beat Watford 1-0. Drew 1-1 at Blackburn. Beat Birmingham 1-0. Having had a quick scout through their goals, there's a lot of set pieces, which is not surprising. Then aiming them at Jake Cooper, which is not surprising. But they're straight up 4-4-2, which is meaning that Zion Fleming, who's probably been their best player for a couple of years, has a bit more freedom to get properly involved in the game. Because I think he actually was on the bench the first game and came off the bench and then looked all right. But he is definitely their best player in an attacking sense. And playing him up front with that Michael Obafemi, who looked pretty good at Swansea, got a move to Burnley, and then hasn't really played that much. Like, I had a look earlier, and he's in, like, this season, he'd only played, like, 2 games for Burnley, and now he's played 7 on loan at Millwall. Just starting at the front, in fairness, Michael Obafemi, from what I remember, his movement was pretty good. He was quite persistent in the way he made runs in behind, but his finishing wasn't all that great. Where Zion Fleming is more really quite technically gifted. He loves a shot. He'll shoot from anywhere if you give him a couple of yards of space.
Michael Obafemi has the bottom half build of Willy Nonto and has the top half build of the bottom half of Willy Nonto. The lad is a tank. He's 5'7", and he's poured into that shirt.
I don't remember him being quite so big. It must have been in the gym a lot more than I realised. Zion Fleming always kind of gives me a bit of a worry, just because he's in a game where you're likely to dominate the ball and have most of the chances. Someone who's a really good ball striker and will take shots on from all over scares you. if someone's going to rifle one in out of nowhere from 25 yards, that's who it's going to be.
Yeah. As I just look at it, there is a number of grizzled championship bastards in this team as well, isn't there? You kind of look at Honeyman, Duncan Watmore, Joe Bryan.
I wouldn't call Duncan Watmore a grizzled championship bastard, but I think that's just because I like him. I think he's done really well to have a career at this level because his knee exploded about three times, didn't it?
Yeah.
At the start of his career when he was looking really good. They've still got Sean Hutchinson. Now he is a grizzled championship bastard.
Yeah, we've already mentioned Jake Cooper. And then you've got cultured fullback Japhet Tanganga.
Yeah, who, by the looks of it, has been playing at centre-back alongside Cooper. But against us, it wouldn't shock me if they brought in Hutchinson and played him as a fullback. But their fullbacks are actually pretty decent. They've got Ryan Leonard and Joe Bryan. So they probably wouldn't want to change that. Because Cooper and Tanganga are both a bit ponderous on the ball and easy to catch, I think it's going to be really important that we press the fullbacks well.
Hmm.
Don't just let them have an easy out ball knocking it up the pitch. If you can press them well and force them to pass the ball back inside to centre backs, you have a real chance of nicking the ball high up the pitch. Because they're not technically great. From the looks of it, Matias Arkic has properly taken over in goal, who is the brother of former Leeds player Oliver. So he's Montenegrin, if I remember rightly. Which means I think their subkeeper is Bjalkovski, goalkeeper.
It is indeed.
He must have been there forever. Because when we scored that, when Pablo scored direct from that corner when the keeper just dropped it in over the line all them years ago, that was him for Millwall, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Sorry, and I think that's before Bielsa.
I'm just doing what we do every time we mention an ex Leeds player of some sort. And the question is, where is Oliver Sarkic?
Right, this could go one of two ways. Because I think when we got him, it was from Spain, I want to say. He's Portugal. Montenegrin, but I think they're from Grimsby.
He is from Grimsby, yes.
So, I am going to say he plays for Cleethorpes Town, which might not even be what the name of the team in Cleethorpes is.
No. He is playing for...
Did he go play somewhere like Uzbekistan?
Ah, oh, Jack, you're already too slow on this. He has departed from Paktkor Tashkent.
I wonder if the fact that that was in back of my mind, we must have brought this must have come up the last time we played Millwall. There's no way I'd just know that from anything else.
He is playing for FK, and I'm going to butcher this, FK Desic. Known as Desic Admiral Betts for sponsoring reasons.
Desic Admiral Betts?
Yes.
Where's that?
That's in Montenegro. So he's gone back to the motherland.
Yeah.
Where he's got 10 goals in 40 games.
Yeah, cool.
It's one of those things where you just like seeing players that were associated with his in some way still having a career.
Yeah, that is very true.
And look at his crazy passport.
Nice. Midfield for them, they've got George Saville, who, according to the stats, has been really good lately, but I think he takes all their set pieces. And as they're a very set-piece team, that's probably carrying them. And he's normally in midfield with Billy Mitchell from EastEnders, who... I seem to remember being fairly tidy, but I have no other strong memory. And yeah, and then back to Fleming and Obafemi up front, which I do think that's pretty decent. For anyone else to actually have any fear of looking at me, I mean, Casper Denor must be good because he can play all the way up the left side and he does sound like an FM regen.
I did like his name. It's no John Body Slam, but he's a...
No.
He's a good player.
And their best name has gone on loan to Hanover, which is Andreas Vogelsammer.
That is a great name. I'm just currently looking at the England under-21 squad, and I keep forgetting we have a goalkeeper called Sam Tickle.
I don't think I even knew that.
Yeah,
that's England under-21s, and I don't realise that. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I remembered that Oliver Sarkic was in Uzbekistan. What a stupid way my brain works.
What that tells you is that you think more about Oliver Sarkic than you do about Wigan.
I mean, that's true. Although I start thinking about Wigan a lot now because we're getting towards Easter.
Yeah.
And it still hurts. is there anything about Millwall that, other than your natural Leeds United pessimism that we all have, there's no to be scared of here, is there?
No. Like, you know how they're going to play. Willie Nonto's going to mark Jake Cooper.
If he plays, that's like, what, even money? Although, I don't know. That's the thing. I haven't been I've only seen the goals. So I can't off the top of my head remember whether Cooper is like just standing on the near post or standing on the far post, or whether he's making runs into that position, because it seems we use Nonto just to sort of half block the run.
I'd argue he's not even done that.
No, that I did say half. you'll never get me to understand why one of the quick players isn't nearly on the halfway line, and nearly every team doesn't leave anyone forward now. So they must be right. They must have looked into it. All the research will have been done and I'm wrong. But why we don't have a Nonto or a Dan James or a Somerville or someone like that up towards the halfway line, I'll never understand.
Well, I mean, I understand the aerial prowess of Dan James and Crescencio Somerville. That's different. You need that in the penalty area. Willie Nonto, on the other hand, he can be moved upfield. It's Millwall are going to be what Millwall are always like, aren't they? They're going to be up for it. We need to be, but again, like you say, I don't think there's a right lot there that I'm particularly worried about, other than big man on corner.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's nothing other than big man on corner. It's quite a big thing, is big man on corner. It's not something you can throw away. Our defensive record this season is really good. And even at set pieces, it's not bad, but it still scares you. Because even the ones where we haven't conceded, I don't think we've looked good defending corners. Like Chef Wednesday had a really good chance from one, and we had another decent one sort of before that. A similar thing with Huddersfield scored from set pieces and nearly scored from a couple of others. So, yeah, it's a bit of a worry. As for Leeds, there's no new injuries. Shackleton and Anthony are back. The main news is that Pascal Strouk has about 10 days for them to sort out whether he needs surgery or not. And if he does need surgery, that's the season done.
So it's Adam Forshaw.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Well, I'm not going to slack because we're not in the room and are in no way qualified to. But it's always annoying when you hear these things because there's a bit in your brain going, but he could have just had the surgery.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's nowhere near that simple. Of course it isn't. But there is a bit in your brain that goes, why didn't he have the surgery before? And then he'd be all right now. And
yeah, it's it is quite frustrating to look at because he is a quality player. It's just mad. Your hope now is that essentially you go into this really positively and go, well, if he has the surgery now, then he'll be back perfectly for pre-season to get ready for a Premier League season.
Oh, you shouldn't say that. You should never say that.
Well, I said if you're optimistic.
I know, but even so, just it makes my chest hurt. Like, But that would be the theory. And the good thing is that so long as other people stay fit, like, I mean, have Rudman and Ampadu conceded just a straight-up open play goal yet?
No, we don't really do that.
Yeah. Leicester was a set piece. If they have, it's been forever. So in terms of that then, do you think that Leeds will change much? I suppose, it's going to be Melier in goal. I would still like to see Conor Roberts get the game at right back with Gray in midfield, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I think Gray, Roden, Ampadu, Firpo, Kamara and Gruev, Somerville on the left, Rutter behind Bamford. And I reckon the only question mark is whether it's James or Nonto.
I think he sticks with Nonto at this point. He's been in pretty decent form, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, scored in the last game as well.
Yeah, I would have no qualms with either, to be honest. It's a rare situation. God, back end of last season, there was only like 5 players that you wanted to pick. And the rest of them were like, well, fuck knows. And this, it's like, oh no, there's about 14 players that really deserve to start.
You could find 5 players you wanted to pick. I got stuck after Jack Harrison.
Yeah. And everyone else hated
him. just me with my tiny little flag with his name. I just, yay!
It's because he's a pretend American and so are you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And I made that joke without paying attention to what shirt you have on.
What shirt am I wearing, bruv? Are you being serious? I think it'll be Nonto just because I think, especially with a more than a week in between games, he's going to keep that team playing that's started the majority of games since the turn of the year. We can go top.
We can. I know everyone knows that we can go top, but I genuinely did think about not bringing it up.
Sorry.
Even though I've put it in like the description of the episode because I've already got the website ready to go. It says Leeds can go top. But I wouldn't really, because the truth is, and I know this is so, and psychologically, I think it might be good if we go top. We've seen Leicester be a bit wobbly lately. But the real thing with it is that, gun to my head, I don't really care if we go top. I just care about the 3 points. We would need a 2-goal win to go top of the league, and as good as that would be, so long as we get 3 points, I'm really not bothered.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking, I'm looking at like Leicester's fixtures, admittedly. I've not factored in them making it to the semi-finals, admittedly, and I probably should. But no, I think you just look and just think, with 8 games to go, we seem to be pacing this really well. Like, we've just hit this form. And they're going to have a run of, just as I look here, game on the 20th of April, 23rd of April, 27th. And then final day on the 4th. Southampton are going to end up with another game crammed in there as well.
Yeah, that one, was it Preston? That's been blocked in for the penultimate week of the season.
Yeah.
They wanted to do what we did, which was have it really early, but because they're playing Plymouth away that week, they didn't want an extra game that week, which is understandable, to be fair.
Yeah, so you're just looking at these teams that are having to kind of squeeze in these extra fixtures. And the hope is, as much as everyone loves, in theory, a game in hand, it'd be quite nice to be the team that's just ahead.
It would be, because we haven't been it all season.
Ipswich will somehow ruin it. I don't know how, but I know it'll be 90 plus minutes.
Well, I was going to say, we should probably briefly mention that game, just because we are now properly at the stage of there's no point pretending we're all doing anything other than massively giving a shit about everyone about the other games. Ipswich are at home to Chef Wednesday. obviously Ipswich are better than Sheffield Wednesday by a decent amount. But if we were playing them, and when we were playing them, you were going, they've been in good form and they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, I, it's one of those where you look and go, most likely it's an Ipswich win, but Wednesday are putting themselves in with a chance of staying up now. Played some decent football, so it wouldn't entirely surprise me if they got something from this game with the form they've been in.
It wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world, but I don't think they will. I mean, I've just had a check and Ipswich are about 8-15, which is probably about right. So 10 at a win, just over a fiver. I reckon there'll be a lot of Leeds fans with that on this weekend. I'll certainly be one of them. I was just going to have a look at what price they have Leeds for on Sunday. We are 1-3, which feels really short to me as a pessimist, but when you really when you think about it, we haven't dropped any points at home since the Coventry game, which was December, and we haven't lost a home game all season. So it's kind of hard to argue with it, really. I have had messages in, Alex 3-0 win, Connie 2-0 win.
I'm going to go big on this. I'm going to go 4-1 win.
That is going big. I mean, admittedly, the higher scoring and more interesting games have been the ones you've been able to go to, and this is one of them. I'm less reticent for us all going for a win after a Stoke game, because we did manage that one all right. I am going to go... I'm going to go 2-0. I'm looking through that team, and as much as I'm scared of them at set pieces, that is all I'm scared of them at, I think. And that, yeah. And Zion Fleming doing something brilliant, which he is capable of doing. There is probably a couple of things that's worth briefly mentioning. Obviously, we've had all the regular international call-ups, but Junior Firpo has declared for the Dominican Republic.
Nice. Good for him. It's probably a really nice place to go away.
Yeah, I did cut up Carla saying for the last time Turk and Dominican and put it on Twitter, but no one cared. It was really me making a joke for you. That's, I don't nice. But no, I'm pleased from, obviously, from a very selfish Leeds point of view, we could probably do without him having those games. But, you know, can't begrudge him. And he did, if I remember rightly, one, obviously, we know that he had eligibility for there anyway. But I don't even think it's out of nowhere. Like, no, he does have, by the looks, if he's a... If this is right, he played a... like a 6-0 non-friend, like it was not technically a FIFA friendly against Brazil in like 2000.
I thought you were going to say like against Brentford or something like that.
No, it was against Brazil's Olympic team in like 2015.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so he did play one from then, and then he got a few Spain under 21 caps, and now he's decided to play from, which is, you know, but good for him. I'm always pleased to see you players getting international honours. We both kind of call this one. Archie Gray steps up to the 21s.
I said in our group text, I look at England's central midfield options and I don't think Archie Gray's that far away.
No, well, Southgate did name check him, didn't he?
Yeah. Good.
If this wasn't a World Cup year, of Euros year? Euros year.
Euros, yeah.
But if this wasn't a tournament year, if we're on an odd number, I feel like England might have called him at once just to lock him in. Just to go, you're not Scottish. and stop him doing a Matteo Bielsa.
Sorry, I was going to say he comes out saying cowabunga, dude. That's a very deep Simpsons reference when they indoctrinate Hans Moll now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But
is Archie Gray's head like a peanut?
I haven't got close enough to kiss it to tell.
You're allowed now.
Well,
sorry.
sorry, Archie.
By the way, he can fuck off if he thinks he's getting trained with the rest of the lads for the rest of this season. We're going well. Stay in your own changing room, actually.
I don't know where. We've only got the two.
What do you mean that's a stupid superstition? I know. Keep doing it anyway.
I mean, have you heard the on the international front, the worst potential or the biggest potential problem causer in Leeds' season that five of Leeds' players all go in for the same ball in the Wales-Finland game and they all get season-ending injuries?
Yeah, with apologies to Glenn Kamara, I will be very much cheering on Wales for that one. One, I would like when the whole nation's qualified, but two, it's 4-1.
You've also got some Welsh family, essentially.
Oh yeah, I have. But if Leeds had four Finnish players,
yeah,
and no Welsh players, I'd probably find myself cheering for Finland. I'm looking forward to that game. Actually, it should be pretty good. Yeah, the final interesting call-up that isn't the normal one, Matteo Joseph, having switched from Spain to England, has switched from England to Spain to accept a call-up for the under-21s. And this does lock him in because he's already had like his change and back. Once he plays this under-21 game, that will lock him in. What is it they call it? Cap tied. Yeah.
I'm a bit surprised.
Good for him. And by all accounts, although obviously he was eligible for England and will have enjoyed playing for England, by all accounts, he was always Spanish and always considered himself Spanish. So good for him.
What part of that gave it away? Was it the Mateo or the Fernandez?
Well, no, I mean, that's just how Spanish names work.
Oh, no, I just meant in terms of, yeah. It's not like he's Matthew, Joseph, Franklin.
Yeah. The thing I'm saying, just from reading this, because obviously his dad is Emelecki's cousin. Is it born in Spain to an English father of Antiguan descent? I'm just wondering how far up the Antiguan is.
Yeah.
Because if it's only one up, it was eligible for them as well.
No, it's just... I mean, I quite like it in football now. Just, I mean, you'll never quite get to Yana's eye levels of, I can represent 11 countries. Pick one.
Yeah. And at the time, one of them wasn't even allowed to be a country in football.
Yeah.
Didn't take long, but...
Yeah, we got there. Eventually, they allowed Gibraltar. Oh, Kosovo. Yeah. Oh,
that's what you meant. I'm pleased for Joseph. And I think, obviously, Spain have seen him get that bit more football and really take to it. And probably, I mean, one, I think he's good enough to play 21's football at that level. But two, they have probably gone, ooh, should probably lock this lad in, just in case. Because the one thing that Spain traditionally do struggle for is number nines. I know they've had some great ones, but considering how good the football team has been for 50 years, actual out-and-out number nines, they haven't had that many.
Yeah, you'd probably say since kind of Torres and Villa.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say Villa is. Like Torres was, but like Villa, sort of a wingery type. Obviously, they've got Morata, and he is a lot better than he gets credit for.
Mate,
but they never have a surplus of them, do they?
I think this conversation is incredibly insulting to Hossilu.
Yeah. Real Madrid, mate. Having, what was it, failed at Stoke. Mind you, that's another thing that Spain have. They have a few that blossom in the third. Because, like, Danny Guifa. He was, like, not in the team, and he got in his 50s. They've got a little bit of this going on. So, hopefully he can impress and get somewhere. But most importantly, just don't get injured.
Yeah, whatever you... Any 50-50s, leave
pull it. Out of it. Get dropped if you have to. Do not risk anything. But yeah, I think that that's... I don't think that there's any other news other than the Strouk stuff and the internationals?
No.
Just very, very quickly look at Phil Hayes' Twitter. Yep, nothing new. So that will do us for episode 256 of the Mike Wright's podcast. As for when we'll be back, it'll be one of the days next week. Depends on work. I don't know what day. Probably. Will Tuesday work in theory for you, Casey?
Yeah, it should be fine. It's also international break, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's no rush with it because of that. But yeah, probably Tuesday. But yeah, that will do us. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I'm in Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.